Hello and welcome back to yet another episode on the Mission Shunya podcast. Hope you are doing well. I know this year could have been tough for you on multiple fronts. So hope you are looking forward to a new wave of energy and enthusiasm as you head into the new year. Well, when I mean a wave, it's a general term and not the other one we tend to associate in recent years, the last couple of years. Sometime back, I did an episode on building a career in clean tech. Precisely episode number 50. So this one is going to be slightly similar. It's going to be an unscripted one. Not that I have huge scripts in all my other episodes. It's a free-flowing conversation generally. This one's going to be even more free-flowing or rather unscripted. Because the thought for this episode came from an incident that happened a few weeks back. I had been to my college. It's been like nearly 10 years since I passed out of my bachelor's and I was there for a program. And it kind of reminded me of the journey that I've been through in the last 10 years. And especially in engagement with the students in the college. A lot of questions were asked generally based on where I am working, how did I end up there and so on. So I am recording this episode during December. So it's a bit of reflection also for me. Just like we tend to do when we look back, we typically choose December to look back and reflect and probably have some goals for the year, upcoming year and so on. So it's a nice time to look back and reflect on how my journey in cleantech has been and probably give you some tips or some suggestions. Of course, it's just from my personal journey. Hope if you're a student or if you know someone who's passing out of college soon and if they are keen in building a career in cleantech, climate tech, then hopefully this is of use to them. It's again what I was asked by my current graduates in the college. What is it about renewable energy, electric vehicles, etc.? So, building a career could be one of the difficult decisions to make, and it is also a crucial decision, especially when you want to start your career in something. So, how do you build a career in clean tech, or rather, today it's generally called climate tech? The word climate tech has not yet proliferated as much as clean tech, but it is definitely getting more traction in recent years. It's all about the sectors and technologies that aid us to get to zero carbon emissions or reduce emissions in the long term. So, clean tech will probably be replaced by climate tech as we go forward. So, now to my story. Honestly, I should admit that I didn't know all of this when I took up this career or when I got started in 2010 or 2011. So in 2010, when I was looking for career options, I probably didn't know much of this. All I know was I was interested in electronics. I was generally drawn towards electronics by physics and generally picked up engineering because of that. So careers are basically decided by your interest, hobbies, passions, etc. So that's how I ended up in engineering. And while I was doing engineering, I was exploring all the options that was possible, and electronics engineering happened to be a good bet because you could specialize in a range of subjects when you do your master's. So getting into renewable energy was not the first choice that I had, but 2011 there was a big incident, the Fukushima nuclear disaster happened, and during the time when I was looking for all the options that were available, incidentally I happened to find one in solar energy at that point in time. So that is how I got drawn into this. But of course, I have been a cyclist for a long time and cycling was one of the active passions for me in college. So that was another reason why I was drawn into energy, renewable energy at that point in time. So as a graduate, you have to make a choice, make a decision, and that's a big decision that you will be making. At this point, I would like to remind you that episode 50, when I spoke to Rajesh Bhatt, the CEO of the first company where I worked, you can listen to the entire conversation on how he kind of motivated youngsters like me to join a clean tech industry at that point in time. So definitely check that as well after you listen to this. So that is how I got into clean tech. But let me tell you, that was a risky decision at that point in time. Why? First, in any sector or industry, there has to be a market demand for the product or service. It should be a steady state demand like consumer electronics or automobiles in recent years. The volumes have to speak for the market and it has to be there for genuine interest in the field. Second, the technology that you're going to work on should be really a game changer or should be something that is really revolutionary in terms of performance and price. And third, there must be something significant in terms of a policy push or government interest, or even for that matter, investor interest in the technology or sector. Well, when I joined renewable energy at that point in time, all of the three that I mentioned was not there, or rather the interest was low in all three fronts. India at that time in 2010-2011 was actually trying to ramp up the electrification rate across the country, and solar power was pretty expensive globally at that point in time, and there was no major policy push, but of course there was some amount of policy push. And when I talk about investments or investor interest, it was very low because early 2000s, there was a lot of interest from venture capitalists who were putting a lot of money into startups, but that kind of didn't take off as expected. So towards the end of 2010s, early 2010s, the interest was waning down. So in India, at that point, it was not really there. But as we look back, everything has changed in the last decade. In recent years, there has been significant interest from all three quarters. The technology is better, the government policy push is there, and most importantly, the investor money is coming big time in climate tech. And talking particularly of investor money, I will leave a short note about the trends and a link to a report that could be of use in terms of looking at the trends in recent years on the investments made by VCs in this space. So I keep joking about the way I got started and how things have progressed in the last 10 years from the narrative of the government policies. For example, when I joined in 2010-2011, the narrative in India was to have 20 gigawatt of solar power connected to the grid by 2022. Then few years down the line, the target was amplified by a big factor. We had 175 gigawatt of renewable energy by 2022. And today the renewable energy targets are like 450 gigawatt by 2030. So that was on renewable energy. But few years later in 2015-2016, the narrative then shifted to electric vehicles because pollution was a major factor and electric vehicles started gaining interest and targets were set. Government has plans to kind of electrify the commercial vehicle space by 2030 and have about overall 30% EV penetration in the space. So that was around 2015-2016, and towards the end of the decade in 2020, the narrative totally shifted to getting to net zero. So when is India or general around the world, where are countries in terms of the net zero targets? When is India going to get to net zero and so on? So I keep joking that when you look at your career and you look at what will you be doing in 20, 30 years time when you will be in the industry, you always have this government target that says like, hey, we'll get to net zero by 2070. That means there is a long-term vision of the government and everyone in the industry and every other stakeholder will probably work towards it. So you definitely have something to work towards running up to 2050 or 2070. Well, that's just a joke, but everything else has to fall in place. So in short, today a long career in clean tech is definitely possible. Or rather, I should say climate tech again. Now let's look at what it takes to get into climate tech at this point in time. Well, again, it's just my honest opinion, my views, but of course, everyone's views will generally evolve over time. So at this point, when I look back at how I got into the space and how I built a career over this time, the first point is being a little bit of lucky. So a little bit of luck is essential because why do I say this? The jobs in the space are not as much as the other major sectors, say for example manufacturing, semiconductors, IT and other services. So the jobs in this space is not there yet, but of course the jobs are definitely increasing year on year, month on month in fact. So you'll have to be a little bit of proactive, get into internships and other opportunities. Look for that in big companies, and of course there are a lot of startups coming up. So be proactive and look for all those opportunities while you are in your final year of degree, and you can get there based on your interest. When I say this, there are a lot of jobs and every skill set is required. So even if you have interest in web design or even if you have interest in data analytics or interest in marketing, social media, every sector, every skill set is required. So don't think that it is only an engineering or a science-driven transition, but every skill sets are required. And especially the world of startups, there are a lot of opportunities for all the different kind of skill sets. So look for internships and other opportunities to get started in climate tech. There are a few, but they'll continue to evolve. So be proactive in the space. And talking of startups leads me to my second point. You'll have to get your hands dirty. The projects and jobs for early career professionals, ideally in this sector in climate tech, will involve a lot of field work. So be prepared to get your hands dirty in the first couple of years. Go to the field, look at projects, be it building energy plants, power plants, automobiles, electric vehicles, or so on. But of course, there are a lot of jobs that are based out of remote work, desktops, and so on. But look at opportunities where you can get to the field and get your hands dirty. Because the large volume jobs, like for example, manufacturing of electric vehicles or building renewable energy power plants, or even for that matter, decarbonization of sectors like cement, steel, all of them could be outside the big cities. So it could be a lot of travel and a lot of visits early on. Well, personally, in my case, it was close to about 4 years that I was moving all around India, looking at projects in remote parts. And it was a good experience when you look back. So be prepared to get your hands dirty. And the third point is all about a support system. Well, support system is general and it is not particular to any sector like climate tech. So wherever you end up working, ensure that you build a good support system in your career. Try to connect with professionals. But of course, in climate tech, I will emphasize on this point because in any emerging sector, the sector tends to be small. People tend to be more connected in the early years of the sector. So it is good to connect with professionals. Always look to connect with people across the experience spectrum. Especially try to reach out to people who are a few notches above you in terms of where you are working, so that you get their perspectives on how you can pace your career. And most importantly, when there are opportunities in terms of jobs or career prospects that are opening up, this support system will definitely help you. Again, this support system, getting a mentor, getting a guide, etc., is important irrespective of where you are. Personally, even I am trying to do that year on year. I am by no means perfect in this, but it is just a reminder for me as well as anyone who's listening to this and who is interested to build a career either in climate tech or in general. So finally, the three things that I think is very important for you is a bit of luck. Well, of course, everyone can create their own luck. And especially in climate tech, there are a lot of companies coming up each and every day with a lot of opportunities. About 100 new companies are listed in the space. Because there is a general saying that a good way of tracking emerging business is to look at where money is flowing. So look at where investments are being made, especially the VC investments. I will leave a link in my website in the post meant for this episode where you can connect, or where you can rather subscribe to a newsletter which lists all the major deals in climate tech in recent weeks. So that is a good way of looking at that. For one, it gives you a list of new companies that are coming up in the space. And most importantly, you will also get a good perspective of what are the new companies actually building? What kind of solutions and products are they offering? So that's a good way of tracking. And second, getting your hands dirty. There is no substitute for hard work. So be prepared to get your hands dirty. Well, of course, I continue to do that to an extent even now. So be prepared for that. And finally, put in time and effort in building a good support system. And if you get going with all three, I'm sure you can definitely be confident of having a good career in climate tech. So I hope this episode or this monologue was of interest to you. Well, if you are out of college or getting started in building a career, and if you're interested in climate tech, if you have any feedback, do let me know. Or if you know someone who will be interested to listen to such a conversation, please pass this episode to them. Again, it's a personal reflection. This is just my learning so far. I will definitely continue to learn and test my theories from time to time. So if there are any changes to that, you will definitely know about it on my blog or on this podcast. So maybe sometime down the line, I'll have another episode talking about the experience, say 15 years from now or 15 years since I graduated and so on. So as always, let me know what you think. missionchunia@gmail.com is the ID. You can, of course, leave a rating, review, feedback on any platform that you listen to podcast on. And if you feel I can be of support to you at any point, you can also reach out to me directly on LinkedIn. So with that, I hope you enjoy this conversation again. I'll be back in 2 weeks' time with yet another episode. Until then, this is Girish Shivakumar signing off. And as always, thank you for listening.